we don't necessarily give them all the tools to be able to win. If they want to win the competition, it's up to them to be able to figure that out themselves.
Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome back to your podcast, the show where we like to start them young on that climate tech career path. On today's show, we explore how one organization has built a way for students to play in the hydrogen economy, have fun, and travel the world, all while establishing a strong foundation for a potential career. Before we explore this playground, I'm your host, Lisa Ann Pinkerton. I'm the CEO of the award-winning PR firm Technica Communications and the founder of Women in Clean Tech and Sustainability. Now, some of you might know that I have a background as a former NPR and PBS environmental science reporter. I did that for over 12 years. And one of the things that you have to do when you work at a public television station is you have to participate in the pledge drive. So if you feel like you're getting a lot from this podcast, if you feel like you're smarter than you were before you listened to it, if you feel like it's giving you new insights in how our future is shaping up, and if you feel like you would miss this show if it wasn't around, please take a moment right now, go to the show notes, click on the Patreon link, and become a Patreon member. You will not regret it, and you're going to have so much fun in our community. Please consider joining us today. Now, beyond covering environmental science and clean tech for NPR and PBS, I also covered education. And I come from a long lineage of teachers and scientists. So it's in our blood to share information and to provide insights to people and help them understand the world around them. And that means you're not free from a spontaneous lecture on some obscure subject when you're hanging around my family. In fact, we call it being Pinkertoned. And I am very guilty of it. So I apologize to all my friends who I've done that to over the years. So today's topic is really this perfect Venn diagram for me of my two passions, clean energy and education. So fun fact, it takes over 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain, i.e. to learn something. That is unless you do it through an activity that feels like play, in which case it only takes 10 to 20 repetitions. And that makes play 98.5% more effective at helping you learn something than just rote memorization or just repetition for repetition's sake. Which is why when I saw dozens of people racing RC cars around a big track at last year's RE Plus conference in Las Vegas, I knew I had to talk to the people behind the initiative. Horizon Educational is the trailblazing organization at the forefront of unraveling the complexities of hydrogen for the next generation. And it all culminates in the Horizon Hydrogen Grand Prix race. Joining us today is Max Accardino. He's the head of business development at Horizon International. He oversees the company's extensive operations in the US, Europe, and Australia, and he's the key figure at driving their mission forward to make hydrogen technology an integral part of the education narrative for the emerging generation. We caught up with him from his home in Prague in the Czech Republic.
I really believe that in order to create a cleaner future and create the mistakes that we have made, essentially with the current climate, that we need to start as young as possible. And in order to, you know, fix our mistakes, it's the young people that are going to have to fix them, unfortunately. So by engaging at a very young age, we are able to create a much stronger future for a positive climate.
Give us a little overview about the organization that you're a part of and the Hydrogen Grand Prix.
Horizon Educational is a global leader that distributes The renewable energy education that's focused on wind, solar, alternative fuels, with the, we'll say, major focus being hydrogen fuel cells. So we work with K through 12 schools, also some universities, and even some industry players, some corporations that are just interested in learning more about clean energy in general. But the main focus is really hydrogen. So we started originally back in 2003, developing and distributing science kits to be used in schools and with curriculum and hardware. And then in 2015, we wanted to take that, you know, to the next level. Learning in your classroom is, of course, it's engaging. But what we all felt is that, you know, in order to really grasp the concepts for these kids, having a competition just adds that next level of engagement and makes them take their innovation a bit further. So that's where the Horizon Hydrogen Grand Prix was born. And so we started this just as a pilot project in Czech Republic and in Germany, originally with 10 teams in each country close to the border, where students received remote control cars, a fuel cell, and an electrolyzer. And so they learned the whole value chain and how to create the hydrogen through electrolysis. Then they learned how to build their car. So for most of these students, it was the first time actually using a screwdriver and a wrench. And so we were able to give them this experience. And then once they assembled everything, they connected the hydrogen into their fuel cell system, which then powered the car. They then had a competition. So we said, here's a certain amount of hydrogen, a certain amount of batteries, and a length of the race. Go have fun. Figure it out. And that's really how it started, is we weren't sure what was going to happen. And the students really amazed us. They had a couple of months to work on their car. And out of the 20 cars, no two cars were the same. We didn't tell them how to modify their car. We didn't give them the answers. They figured it out, you know, completely themselves. And it was really impressive. And since then, you know, 20 teams, we are now at over 500 teams in 20 countries around the world organizing this race. And it all started, you know, back from developing our first small fuel cell as just an idea to get kids involved, to now really having, you know, the largest hydrogen education program in the world.
I really appreciate that you all have had the foresight to not to start early in terms of the schools, but also start early in terms of market adoption for hydrogen, right? I've been in this space a long time. There was a lot of hydrogen hype back in the late 2000s, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger drove a hydrogen car around California. But then it kind of like petered out. And now we're seeing this resurgence in hydrogen technology. And what you all have done by focusing in 2015, getting, you know, starting your work then, means that there are kids old enough now, you know, have all of this preloaded hydrogen education, hydrogen knowledge that then they can take to university, or if they're a little bit older, actually get into some roles with this space. So I think a tremendous foresight on your part.
Thank you for that. And, you know, that's something that we've always, you know, wanted to be. We know that these students, they're not going to be experts overnight. But if we can just get them interested to be able to pursue maybe a career or a degree, you know, there are so many opportunities out there. And it doesn't necessarily need to be engineering-based. We see, of course, a lot of students come out of this program and they want to join a STEAM career, STEAM education after. But we've also seen a lot of students that they want to go into marketing and content creation because there's no one out there talking about this, or not that many people, I should say, talking about clean energy, especially to young people. So why not become an influencer into clean energy mobility and things like that? And there's so many opportunities.
Tell us a little bit about the Hydrogen Grand Prix. If you walked past it, it just looked like a huge RC car rally. If you didn't have any other context, right? This is a bunch of people racing these little cars around. But set the stage for us. What is the race? How do you conduct it? And how do you make these little cars?
Yep. So the Horizon Hydrogen Grand Prix H2GP Pro competition, this starts at the beginning of the school year. And so students receive their hardware anywhere from September, we'll say, to January. They receive a chassis that's completely disassembled. They then receive a fuel cell, they receive an electrolyzer, and they receive hydro sticks or metal hydride. And so they assemble their car, they mount the wheel, they mount the motor, electronic, they mount the fuel cell, they create their hydrogen, they then store the hydrogen in the metal hydride, and then they learn about the distribution of hydrogen from the hydro stick into the fuel cell, and then the energy creation from that. And so that's the first phase, is just getting the car assembled locally in their region. So we do this in 20 countries around the world where we distribute this now, and they start building their cars. They start planning out their strategy. After they build their car, they then test their solution through some races locally that range between 2 hours and 4 hours long, depending on the level of the race and how many teams are involved. And so they start really just the first time, you know, what is hydrogen? How do I get this car to drive? And how do I make the car last the length of the race? And so after they compete locally, we then have the top teams from each region come to our world final event, which this year took place at the RE Plus Expo in Las Vegas, which is the largest clean energy expo in North America. And so we were actually given an opportunity to present our program there, where we brought 27 teams from the 20 countries to compete over the 4 days. And that was quite a race. It was a battle to the end. Team Bulgaria was leading up until the very end, the last hour or so. And then Team Oakwood Pink from California ultimately took home the crown as the reigning world champion with the most amount of laps over the 6 hours. So it was really impressive. And, you know, these students had a great time. They interacted with many languages, many cultures. And overall, the RE Plus Expo saw over 42,000 people came. And I think most of them came over and visited us. And we have received a lot of feedback that we were the highlight of the show. It was really an amazing experience for us. Big thank you to RE Plus for having us, of course. And then the rest of our sponsors, you know, to be able to put on that event, it was really incredible.
Attention, climate innovators, tech startups, and industry pioneers. Are you tired of waiting around for people to notice the cool stuff that you're doing? Startups tap award-winning clean tech PR firms like Technica Communications because it's still the most cost-effective way to scale their sales and investment pipeline. Whether you need better ways to talk about what you do, access to new markets, or simply gearing up for your next fundraise, Technica has you covered. For more information, visit technica.inc or visit us on LinkedIn. And hey, tell us if the Earthlings 2.0 podcast sent you.
Hey, listeners. This show is a part of the Resource Labs Network. It's a curated collective of industry leaders who are accelerating the clean energy transition. If you want to find out more, visit us at resourcelabs.co.
Seems like a natural transition into like an internship program or something like that between all these companies. For those of you listening at home or watching, we're going to put some videos up on this YouTube channel so that you can see what this race looks like, or they'll be in the show notes. So you can click on those videos and watch what this race looks like. But can you give us a little bit more technical detail into the parts that are within this car and how it works?
At the base of it, each team starts with the exact same chassis. They get a 1 to 10 scale RC car. So you can call it an RC car, remote control car, that's an electric RC car. So when they get it, it's actually just a battery car. So you plug in a battery like you would your normal RC car and you can drive it. So where we differentiate from the RC world and the typical RC racing is that we introduce hydrogen as the fuel source instead of battery. And so the students, when they build this, they're actually putting hydrogen through the fuel cell, and that is what is creating the electricity, which is then charging the battery or something to be able to power the car. I say something because some teams have taken out the battery and they've had the hydrogen fuel cell just power the car itself. Or they have a supercapacitor in there as the medium, between the car and the fuel cell. There's many different ways there that, you know, you can use DC to DC converters. There's so many different options out for these students, and it's up to them to be able to figure out what is the best option for them to use. So They are able to modify their cars however they want, as long as it stays within a certain dimension, length, width, and weight. But everything else is completely up to them. Our rule states you have to run on hydrogen. And that's basically the rule book there. So it's really up to these students how they modify it. And we give them all the tools to be able to succeed. But we don't necessarily give them all the tools to be able to win. If they want to win the competition, it's up to them to be able to figure that out themselves. And so it's from strategy, it's from communication, and the innovation itself of incorporating 3D printing in there, CNC machines, vacuum forming, making bodies out of clay, whatever it is that they want to do, they really can do.
And what was the most unique innovation that you've seen in these cars, like the most out-of-the-box thinking on how to design a little hydrogen RC car?
So I think there's two examples that I can give you. One example is from a team actually based in Los Angeles that they have made their car run completely on hydrogen. They're one of the only teams around the world that have been able to completely eliminate the battery. So their strategy of the race is to go really fast in the beginning and deplete their battery. And then once their batteries are gone, and then they switch over to the hydrogen system. But they also made it so that they can change the hydrogen sticks, the metal hydride hydro sticks, very quickly. And so they can change their fuel within just a few seconds by lifting up the car, and they designed a quick connect system that they can pop the hydrogen in and take the other one out. So within 10 to 15 seconds, they're back on the track. And so the way that they thought about how can I convert to hydrogen only to save on weight and also to conserve some energy, but also how do I make my pit stops the fastest? Because if I'm not on the track, then I'm not racing and I need to be out there in order to win. So that's, you know, one of the most impressive innovations that I've seen. And the other one, we'll say, I first saw it on a team from Northern California, and now several teams have caught up to it. They have developed a telemetry system app that they have coded onto their car, so they can see all of the data coming out of the fuel cell. What is the voltage? How much hydrogen is left? How much battery is left? The speed, even the angle they're turning at. They have a gyro system in there, and so they are able to track all that data. So with their engineers and their technicians will know exactly when do they need to change their system, when do they need to refuel, if anything is going on, is there any communication problems. And that's really impressive. They're able to code the system, but then also develop the app to be able to run everything, you know, from their computer and phones, no matter where they are.
I love when kids are given opportunities to innovate, and because they haven't been hardened by the world or like what you're supposed to do or how things have always been done and, you know, all this stuff, that they can really think out literally outside the box and create something that is just as effective or more and has all these additional benefits that others might not have thought of because they're so ingrained in an older way of thinking.
Exactly. By giving the students, we'll say, the tools to understand the larger cars and be able to do it on a small scale, is that they can then take and work on larger cars, you know, almost instantly, because it's just something bigger. But the technology is very similar. But it also gives them an opportunity to say, okay, maybe the cars on the road, they work, but are they the best? You know, in my car, I did this, you know, I didn't have a battery and I lasted, you know, a certain length of time, you know. So they could go and they can work with the Toyotas and the Hyundais and the, you know, major manufacturers and say, yeah, we want, like, I have a new system that will work in this. Like, let me develop it for you. And so this is really where they're getting these new ideas. And not taking just what's out there, they're taking what's out there as their base, but they are far exceeding what anything is actually on the road right now.
You hear that, Toyota, Hyundai? Your brightest minds are coming out of this program. Give them an internship. Okay, so obviously, yeah, so this real world experience with these, basically being able to, you could just scale it up to real world experience from these cars that you guys are using. So that would be an expected benefit from being a part of the program. But what's something unexpected that students are gaining from being a part of these races?
I think the teamwork is actually probably the best thing to come out of this program. Because, of course, they learn the engineering skills. They learn how to use tools, how to use power tools, 3D printing, things like that. But really, you can learn that in, you know, in your classroom, in your shop class, and every school pretty much has a 3D printer now. So that's not really what separates us, but it's the competition aspect and the teamwork aspect. So on the race day, the teachers are not allowed to touch the car. We have a technical team there to support the school, the students, but it's really up to the students to get their car back on the track. So as you would see in any race, any car race, NASCAR, F1, Indy, whatever it is, cars crash, they break down. So, and they go into the pit and they need to fix it, right? To get it back on the track. And so these students have to figure this out all by themselves. So they have to use the tool here they bring, or we also provide some tools, and they need to see what's going on. We have a great video from a few years ago of a student who, their car caught on fire during the race. And, you know, it's one of my favorite videos to watch because the way his face lights up and how happy he was, not that the car caught on fire, but then he figured out and he said, oh, it's just a wire that crossed. We were able to solder and get it back on. And it was just like this thought immediately. They identified the problem instantly. We were able to get it back on the track within a few minutes. And the car was actually on fire. And they were able to fix it without any future support. And that is really, you know, the most impressive, we'll say, aspect of it. Is they're able to communicate, work on it. And one of our partners, Raven, their CEO, even said that at our world final, is that these are the people that he wants to hire, are the quick thinkers. The one that can think on their feet, not have to ask for, you know, so much support. They can be independent. They can figure out their own problem. And that is really, I think, the biggest thing that they are learning.
I can sense, too, that you talk about communication, teamwork. All of this is under pressure, right? Competition, high stress, depending on how much emotionality people would put into that experience, pressure on themselves, and still having to continue through the competition, regardless of how you're feeling emotionally, and keep a clear head and communicate well, show up as a leader or show up as a good foot soldier, right? And maybe set your ego aside for the team. All of these different skills that you learn through life, just through experience, especially if you're paying attention and you work on yourself personally. But this is not stuff that you're going to get in a textbook, right? You have to experience it. And so starting these kids young with this kind of environment that is, I'm sure it's not life and death, but I'm sure it is pressurizing because they have spent a lot of time and effort, like a whole year of their academic career in this program, and they want to do well.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's something that I think, you know, COVID had a major impact on these students, right? Being home for a year or two and not having that interaction with, you know, other people and not getting their hands on things. I mean, virtual learning, it's amazing that we were able to develop something so quick, right? And be able to get education still and for 2 years of being out of class. But I think, you know, that's going to have huge impact in the future of, you know, for 2 years, these kids weren't working with their hands. And this is something that we're really trying to re-implement since COVID because, you know, teachers are craving for something that is in-hand curriculum, right? And being able to get their hands dirty. And parents as well are the same. You know, how do I get my child away from their phone? Well, this is it. You know?
Take it away from them.
That too.
I'm sorry. I don't have kids, so I have zero sympathy.
Yeah, me neither, so I could say that. This is what I hear, though, you know? I hear that, yeah. You know, we're stuck behind a screen, so let's do something different, and this is what it is, and it's going to have impacts in the future workforce as well. There'll be a place, of course, for behind-the-screen, you know, employment and careers, but the jobs that we're lacking right now are the ones that are hands-on.
And I can see how these lessons that they're learning are just going to be much stronger because of that versus just reading a textbook and taking a test.
Absolutely. I mean, I was always a hands-on learner. I mean, I ultimately, you know, that's what I believe in is learning through play and learning through experiences. I actually have a degree in recreation and leisure because I fully believe in this. It's what I studied, you know, because I wanted to do fun things. And, you know, that was my medium to be able to do fun things. But, you know, It's really exciting to be able to incorporate STEAM and play and experiences all in one, because it's so crucial to have, you know, everything together now.
One question I have around the STEM work that you're doing is, what is the diversity makeup of some of these teams? Like, how many, what's the male to female ratio that we could expect if we were walking past the 2024 Hydrogen Grand Prix?
So I will say, unfortunately, it is very male dominated. I think that it is a reflection of the current environment and engineering field. However, every year, the numbers, they change. And so I don't have an exact number and percentage makeup of the demographics, but I will use our California region as the, you know, as kind of the one leading the way for especially girls in STEM. This is a figure, of course, that we look at very closely. And this year, or this last season in California, we had 67 teams in California registered, and 20 of them were all girls teams. And that was, you know, extremely, extremely impressive to be able to have that. And so that's something that, you know, has been a big push, of course, from us, our sponsors, and also the schools themselves, and how to get girls in STEM. So it's a new demographic that we're looking at. The demographic that we've typically looked at has been more income and, you know, financial aid as a demographic that we have always tracked. And that's something that this program has historically been run in over 90% public schools. And out of those public schools, about 60% of them were Title I schools. So globally, they are low-income areas that we are bringing this program in, because that's where we see the big need. Every year, though, we always get more girls in the program. We get more students that have a need to get more involved in the program. Right before COVID, our world final in 2019, we actually had the team that won our world final was from Los Angeles. It was a predominantly Spanish-speaking school, and their main driver was a girl, and she won the world championship. So there is, you know, great success stories that are in the program, and especially in California, it's become such a topic and a great topic to have, and it's great seeing the growth of females in the program. And we're now launching in the UK, and our sponsor there has made it very clear that the first teams to show up to register must be all girls, and their funding is going into all girls programs. And it's really great to see this shift in, you know, in our programs, also in the industry. And, you know, why not? I mean, hydrogen and fuel cells, it's a new topic to a lot of people. It's a new career. And so why not have female technicians? You know, there's no technician out there right now working with hydrogen. So why not start with females? And I think we see a lot of shift in this field going to that. And it's really exciting.
Yeah. And in fact, I remember reading an article, I'll have to find it and put it in the show notes, where that spoke about this electrician shortage in solar energy. And the hypothesis was that perhaps women were better suited to being electricians than their male counterparts for a variety of reasons. And I thought that was really interesting. If you were talking to a high school student or a college student today, what would you tell them about building their career in the clean energy economy, or specifically in the hydrogen economy?
I would say absolutely start now and go for it, and start getting involved in whatever you can, whether it's the HUGP or some environmental club or institution at your school. Get involved, because there is a huge demand for professionals in this field, and there's a lack of workforce out there. The jobs are extremely high paying. We get calls very often from companies saying, hey, we're looking for staff. Do you have anyone? And of course, you know, we have thousands of students that have gone through our program that, you know, we now connect with the companies, especially our sponsors, because they're looking for motivated people, not necessarily the most educated people, but ones that are motivated and want to be able to learn, to be able to join this. So if you're looking for a good paying job that is doing good for the world, definitely join this career, this field, because it is here to stay and it will be around for a long time. So you're going to have job security. You're going to make a lot more money than any of your friends. And it's fun being able to do good in the world.
Parents of the younglings, you can add Hydrogen Race Team to that long list of extracurricular activities your little earthlings are going to get to explore as they grow up. Please reach out to Hydrogen Educational and Max and get them connected with your school districts so that we can expand the number of kids who are getting this valuable information. And you know what I love about this is that this education, it is multidimensional. It's not just traditional rote, remember how this hydrogen thing works. It's troubleshoot how this hydrogen thing works. It's be a team member. It's control your emotions if you're getting too competitive, if you're really upset about something. It's power through to make your goal of finishing this race. It's teamwork. It's all of these skills that sometimes we don't always learn in school, and we don't necessarily always learn them in other curricular activities. And, you know, as we're facing these global challenges, not just climate change, but, you know, AI and the changing political dynamics in our world and all of these things, stuff we might not even realize yet, this ability to adapt and create creative solutions is paramount to our survival as earthlings. So thank you to Horizon International for contributing to making critical thinkers and helping us to build the next generation of the workforce that is going to take us through the energy transition into some amazing future that we can all be proud of. Our faith in humanity is restored this week by Indonesia's first sanctuary for farmed animals. The Sethi Animal Sanctuary, which is located off the island of Sumatra. Founded in 2007 by Lo Shitlu Long and Sing Hui, the sanctuary is home to more than 300 animals rescued from the meat industry, including pigs, goats, rabbits, chickens, sheep, dogs, and cats. The sanctuary was established after Sing refused to return 5 piglets that she had bonded with. The couple has invested their resources, including pawning their gold, to maintain the sanctuary. And in 2020, a group in Bali heard about the sanctuary and initiated a crowdfunding event to support it with a goal to revitalize the sanctuary, pay the staff, and make it sustainable by growing its own animal feed. This is a story of how two earthlings allowed the energy of the love they felt for these other living beings to create a future that wouldn't have existed any other way. And it's an inspiration to us as we hurtle through space at 67,000 miles an hour on this beautiful blue-green space flower that we call home.